48 years ago, in August of 1973, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but that was the first time in my life, at 16 years old, that was the first time in my life I ever went to church on my own. And by that I mean without my parents, without my grandmother, without any friends. I got invited to a church. A youth pastor stopped by my house, invited me to a church, and wanted me to come. And kind of, the story's real long, I won't give you that whole story. But basically he twisted my arm a little bit, and I decided I would come. Really, I decided I wouldn't come, but he came anyway and picked me up. But long story short, that same Sunday morning, the first Sunday I ever came to a church where they preached the gospel, first time I ever heard the gospel clearly given, that morning I got up out of my seat, walked down the aisle, and asked somebody how to be saved, and I got saved that morning, like I said, in 1973. Now, I want you to understand a couple things real quick. Number one, I was not a heathen. I wasn't a wicked, you know, horrible, you know, person who murdered people or stole things. I was an average kid, you know, occasionally told a lie, occasionally disrespected my parents, occasionally I may or may not have cheated on a test in school. I can't be sure about that one. It was such a long time ago. But like any other kid, I had my problems, but nothing major. The deal was this. I knew a little bit about the Bible. I'd never read the Bible for myself. Now, that may seem strange to some of you who were raised in a Christian home, but I never read the Bible by myself. I never picked up a Bible and just read it. I just thought that was something adults did. And so I never had that basic biblical understanding of, you know, where the books were and what related to what. But I did know some basic truths. My grandmother was a Christian. Several of my uncles and aunts were Christians. And I'd heard, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross and he died for me and God loves you. And I had all this information, little pieces of information, but I didn't have them put together well until that day when I came to that church and I heard the preacher preach. And at the invitation, some of you may remember when they used to say this all the time, if you were to die today, do you know where you're spending? How many of you ever heard a pastor say that? Most of you have over the years. And he said that morning, and then he said, you know, you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And that intrigued me. I didn't believe that was true. I thought, how in the world can anybody know for sure they're going to heaven? So out of curiosity, more than anything else, I'm sure it was a conviction of the Holy Spirit, I got out of the seat, walked down the aisle, and a man named Nolan Johnson, who was a deacon of the church at that time, I met the youth pastor first. The youth pastor said, one of our men will take you and show you how to be saved. And Nolan Johnson, one of the deacons of the church, we went off to this side, and there was a little room in the back, and I remember it because it was one of those little Sunday school desks. I think it was probably for 3 or 4 year olds, because I was at that time about 6'2" at same height, just a lot skinnier. And I remember trying to sit in that little, you know how the seats have that arm thing, and you had to kind of wedge yourself in there? And I still remember him putting the Bible down on that desk and spinning it around backwards in front of me and going through the plan of salvation. And that was the first time I'd ever connected, so to speak, all the dots, all the understanding of the gospel. And it came clearer that day than I think any time ever in my life. It just made sense. And I remember Nolan saying to me, he said, well, Morris, actually back then they called me Morris Dean. It was a Southern thing. You got called by both names. He said, would you like to pray and ask Christ to save you? And I thought that was a silly question. I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. If this is true and I can know for sure I'm going to heaven, and if I pray and I've settled that, why would I not pray? To me, it was a logical decision. I know a lot of people stress over the decision. A lot of people struggle with the decision. But for me, it was just like, well, of course I would. It was a year later, I was off in Bible college, and 3 years after that, I was a youth pastor, and life completely turned around for me. So let me tell you a couple things what I'm going to do tonight. I want to share with you tonight what Nolan Johnson told me in that little room sitting in that little tiny desk, because Nolan did it different than pretty much anybody I'd ever heard do it, and I've kind of developed the way I lead people to Christ, the way I talk to people, around that same plan. Now, I know a lot of people do it in a lot of different ways. Most of you have heard of leading somebody to Christ using the Romans Road, right? Everybody's heard of that, right? Some of you probably heard of other people who lead people to Christ just using the Gospel of John. And by the way, you can easily do that. I know somebody who leads people to Christ just using Isaiah 53, and you can do that. There's no set perfect way, as long as you get the understanding of the truths of the gospel across to the person and they understand it, they can be saved. And I found that out that morning. So Nolan did a little different. Now, I'm going to do it this way tonight, and I'm going to do it for two reasons. Number one, I want you to know how you can be saved. I don't know if everybody in this room is saved. You know, a lot of times on Wednesday night, you know, we have kind of the home crowd, and we assume that everybody in the room is saved. I don't know that for sure. Maybe this is something you need to hear. That's not my primary purpose, but then I thought, got to thinking about it. There's some people watching online, and they may not have had a clear presentation of the gospel, so I'm going to do it for them also. But more than that, my main emphasis for you tonight is this: for you to be able to lead somebody to Christ. I want you to be able, in a systematic way, to take the truths of the gospel, the simple, basic truths of the gospel, and explain it to somebody else and see them saved. Now, I'm going to do it in a way that's probably a little different than you've ever seen it done, because I want you to pay attention, and I don't want you to go to sleep. I know it's Wednesday night, and it's easy to get distracted, and I don't want you to do that. So here's what I'm going to do. This afternoon, I contacted four different married couples, to help me with this. So those four couples, if you come up to the platform right now, I need you real quick, just get up from where you're seated and come up to the platform. There's four chairs on this side, and there's four chairs on this side. So if you've done your math correctly, that means two couples over here and two couples over here. Okay? And so you can sit on either side you want to. And then I'm going to use them in this illustration. And I want you to listen. Now, I have done this also. A lot of you like to get notes, and you like to find out, you know, where does that in the Bible? Right in front of me, right down here in front of me, you'll see a stack of papers. That's exactly what I'm going to talk about tonight. It's all printed out for you. I don't want you to take notes. I want you to pay attention, okay? You can get the notes. There's no blanks on these notes. It's all filled out, and so you can get notes. If you still can't understand it that way, on this side, there's another stack. It's just a small stack of cards there. That's a little gospel tract that I wrote using the same plan of salvation that I use, and you're welcome to take some of those, okay? So there's gospel tracts on this side to give you that same plan, and there's the plan written out on this side for that same plan. So let me tell you how I do this. Now, when I'm talking to someone, whether it's in a church service, I don't care if they come forward for an invitation, and I'm like Nolan, I take them to another room and explain the gospel to them, or I'm visiting with them at their house, or I'm at the mission talking to the men, or at the youth center talking to the teens, and somebody comes forward, I almost always use the same plan of salvation. If I'm visiting with somebody and I don't know if they're saved, I almost always use the exact same question. When I was a teenager, I heard all kinds of ways for people to say, how do you get into the gospel with somebody? I tell you, all I do is start talking to them. I ask questions about them. And then I always ask this question. For me, this is the simplest way to get into the gospel. I just simply ask people, when were you saved? Could you tell me when you were saved? Now, I don't say, are you saved? Because you know what they can say if I say, are you saved? Yep. Or nope. Or I don't say, are you a Christian? I just say, when were you saved? Because the answer to that question tells me where to go next. If I say to somebody, when were you saved? And they say, what do you mean by saved? I know exactly where I'm going, right? If I say, when were you saved? And they say, well, I was baptized when I was a baby. Okay? I already know where I'm going, right? So I don't know if that's a good question for you, but for me, that has always been an easy, simple question to get into the gospel presentation, and it's very simple. And everything I do from that point on is led by a question. I consistently ask a question, and then I give them the Bible answer. I'll ask a question, and I'll say, do you know the answer to that question? And if they don't, I'll say, let me show you what the Bible says. And that's what these people are going to do. I'm going to ask 8 questions, okay? And each one of them is going to have the answer. Gloria, you sat in the worst seat, because you're going to have to stand up the longest. Okay? Now, I've divided them into 2 groups. There's a group over here and there's a group over here. So there's 8 questions. And the answers to these 8 questions, all bad. This is the bad side. Seems appropriate. Just kidding. Okay? And this is the good side. The answer to their questions are all very good. Okay? And you have by far the easiest seat. Only thing you have to remember tonight, they're going to have to remember a sentence. One word. Okay? You can do that, right? I love it. They're all scared to death. They think I'm Pastor Monty and I'm here to embarrass them. I'm not going to embarrass any of you, okay? That's not the point. My point is so that these people will kind of get the idea, okay? This is the way I used to do it with my teenagers. So the first question I ask is real simple. I usually ask a person, why do you think you need to be saved? Because if I've talked about salvation and they say they're not saved, well, why do you think a person needs to be saved? Well, I don't know. Well, you probably already know the answers. Romans 3:10, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, right? You know the verses, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You got the verses, right? You got the idea. All those verses, by the way, that I'm going to quote or say something about are on the cards down here. So don't worry about writing them down. I've got it all for you. So why does a person need to be saved? Gloria, stand up. All you have to remember is this answer. And every time I point to you, I want you to say this loud so everybody can hear it.
Okay.
You have to be saved because we are all sinners.
We are all sinners.
Oh, you were good. I thought you'd forget already. Okay. I thought I could point and you wouldn't catch it. Okay. So why do we need to be saved?
We are all sinners.
Right. The scripture supports that. And by the way, if you're talking to somebody and you read Romans chapter 3 and you read, but you can read verses 10. You can read all the way to the end of the chapter. You know, we've all gone out of the other way. Our throat is an open sepulcher. It does not give you a very good description of mankind, does it? But it's an accurate description. We are not all good people. We are all bad people. We all have a heart of wickedness before we get saved that is directed only towards one person, and one person's good. And who is that? Self. I won't lie about it. Before I was saved, even today I struggle with it. The flesh screams for its desires, and the flesh screams for its wants and its needs. And so I have the same problem. I've run into a couple people that argue with me, but rarely does anybody argue on the fact that
we are all sinners.
Okay. You see how good she's doing? You guys pay attention. Okay. All right, so rarely does anybody argue with that fact. Sometimes they will. I'll go then to probably James chapter 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And if you've sinned one, and I'll ask the person, have you ever sinned in one area? Have you ever lied? Nobody can answer no to that question. Honestly. If you're more than 5 years old and you answer no to that question, you're lying. Right? Have you ever lied? Well, of course I've lied, people say. What they think is, well, I've never killed anybody, right? Well, I've never committed adultery. No, but we've all sinned in some way. We've all stolen. You may not have committed adultery physically, but you may have, if you're our age, committed adultery in your heart. Let's just be honest with each other, because the Bible makes it very clear that
we are all sinners. Did I say that right?
We have all sinned.
Darn.
Okay, so first question, why do you need to be saved? Okay, really simple answer, and I try to, if you cannot get a person lost, guess what? You cannot get them saved. If there's no need for salvation, if I'm good enough, then what's the point? Nobody is good enough. Everybody has a sin nature, and everybody has sin, and so that's the first thing you have to get them to understand. So here's the second thing. So I want to ask, first of all, why do we need to be saved? Not you, her. We have all sinned.
I thought it was sinners.
Okay. I didn't say anything about sin. Anyway.
We have all sinned.
There you go. Okay. All right. So what... So the second question I'll ask is this. So what do you think the penalty for sin is? What happens because you sin? And I'll take them to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And this is the only place I'm going to stop. I'll read only half of the verse. And I'll tell them, I'll read the other half of the verse later. I don't want to give you only half of the verse. The first part of that verse says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Okay? So, you're going to have to say it more than anybody else. Okay. Stand up, Troy. So, here's what you have. Not only have we all sinned, but we are all going to die.
We are all going to die.
Now, it's death. You've got to sound more morbid.
We are all going to die.
That's better. That was actually pretty good. Okay, so understand first that
we have all sinned. It's blonde.
We have all sinned, and because we've all sinned, what is the result?
We are all going to die.
Okay, and so every man, every woman ever born is going to die. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. That if thou shalt eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt what? Surely die. Are Adam and Eve alive today? No. Everybody who's ever lived has died, except for two men that I know of. There's a possibility, one probably, two most likely, Elijah and Moses. And I believe, I'm not going to get into prophecy, but I believe they're going to come back and die too. I think they're the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. Anyway, they're going to die. Okay? Because the Bible makes it very clear. Because
we have all sinned.
We are all going to die.
Because we... That was good. We've all sinned and we're all going to die. By the way, is this simple enough so far? It's very simple. And what I'm telling you tonight is a very simple understanding of the truth. And I don't think you're going to have any problem with it all. So, first question, what do we need to be saved? Why do we need to be saved? Because we've all sinned. Second question, what is the penalty for our sin? Third question. Okay? Third question. So what happens after we die? Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto man once to die, but what happens after we die? The judgment. So we know this.
We have all sinned.
We are all going to die.
We are all going to be judged.
We are all going to be judged.
Right. Okay. They're terrified they're going to forget. Don't worry. By the time I'm through, you'll understand it. And the reason I'm continually repeating it is because I want it in your head. So we've all sinned. We're all going to die. And
we're all going to be judged.
By the way, what's that judgment going to be? Anybody know what the judgment's going to be? We know we're going to be judged, but what's the judgment going to be? Well, you know what? We already know that. That's the next question. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on the Son hath not... He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned when? Do I have to wait till I die to find out whether I'm going to be condemned? Without Christ, if I die, am I condemned? I'm already condemned. I've already sinned. I've already admitted that we've all sinned. I've already admitted that I'm going to die. I know I'm going to be judged. And I also know that if I'm judged in that position, I'm guilty. So, Stephen? So, we know that here's the four basic truths of the bad news. Everybody with me? So, the bad news is?
We've all sinned.
We're all going to die.
We will all be judged.
We're all guilty.
We are all guilty.
Yep. You could almost do it like a judge. You kind of got that judge look, yeah. Okay?
We are all guilty.
Now, I remember, listen to me, I remember at 16 years of old sitting at that little desk and the guy taking a Bible and showing me those verses and telling me those same basic truths. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, well, this is wonderful. I came to this church to hear something good and I heard some preaching and I heard there's a possibility of going to heaven. And so far, all he's told me is,
we are all guilty.
And so I'm sitting in this little room going, thank you for the truth. I wasn't sure I was going to heaven. Now I'm sure I'm going to hell. By the way, Nolan Johnson did an excellent job of making a 16-year-old boy understand that without Christ, he was on his way to hell. I don't know what's happening in churches today, but I think we're getting away from saying that. I don't know when's the last time, and even in this church sometimes we don't say enough. I don't know when's the last time I heard somebody say, if you don't have Christ as your personal Savior, you will die and you will go to hell. Can I ask you a question? Are any of the truths that I've told you not, are any of those not true? And we could go to verse to verse, book after book in the Scripture. It's not really complicated. We could go from the book of Psalms. We could go to the book of Isaiah. We can go through Romans. There's no question that those are four basic truths. And where we are without Christ is right here.
We're all guilty.
We're all guilty, and we're already condemned. It's not something I'm waiting for. It's not something that might happen. It is something that is already happening. And if you die in that state, I don't know if you're here tonight, I don't know if you're listening online, but if you die tonight that way, you're going to be condemned. You're not going to get a second chance. You're going to stand before the great white throne judgment, and God's going to judge you and say, because of your works, because of your evil deeds, you're going to die. You say, wait, Brother Morris, I thought we were a Baptist church. We don't believe you're saved by your works. No, I don't believe you're saved by your works, but I believe you're going to go to hell because of your works. Amen? So, if this is all we had, be pretty bad shape, right? You guys want to sit down? Don't. Okay. Okay, so we got you got the everybody got it in your head, right? The four basic truths are
we've all sinned.
She's
we're
scared.
All going to die.
We will all be judged.
We are all guilty.
Okay. But aren't you glad that there's some good news? By the way, you know what the word, I know you know this, but what does the word gospel mean?
Good news.
You know, when you hear this and you understand that truth for the first time, maybe you weren't 16, maybe you were 7 or 8, maybe you were in your 30s or 40s. I don't know when you heard that truth for the first time. That's not a good thing to hear. That should make you a little nervous. That should bother you. And I know at 16 years old, I was sitting on this side of the auditorium as a church about 300, and I was sitting over here, and I remember thinking to myself, this is not good. I need to do something about that. And by the way, I don't understand why somebody wouldn't think that way. Why would you take that chance? Why would you say to yourself, I'm okay. I knew better. Even at 16, I knew better. I knew I wasn't okay. I knew I had problems. I knew I was a sinner. Nolan Johnson didn't have a long conversation on this side of the court for me. It was like, Believe it or not, I had more trouble with this than I did with this. And I know people that I've talked to before as far as salvation, and they do too. Because the first thing in this side, here's the next question. So how do we get saved? Gary, why don't you stand up? I think you probably know where I'm going with this. John chapter 3, verse 16, you know the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You say, well, Brother Morris, don't you believe that if we were this bad, God loved bad people? I know that for a fact. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth, that is, he proved or he showed his love to us. God commendeth his love to us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here's the thing. We got all this bad news.
We've all sinned.
We're all going to die.
We will all be judged.
We're all guilty.
And then we got some good news. And this was the one that I struggled with. I know you think I'm crazy. God loves you.
God loves you.
When Nolan said that to me, I'm not saying that I thought, well, God hated me. Here's what I thought. I don't even think God notices me. I mean, who am I, right? And Nolan was like, I want you to understand, Morris, God loves you with an everlasting love. And he went on and on about God's love. And I'm thinking, I don't think you know me. You didn't hear. I am that guy. I don't think you know me. Now, again, I wasn't a crazy wicked and did a whole lot of crazy stuff, but I knew my heart and I knew how I thought and I knew what ran through my mind and I knew some of the things that I'd done. And the fact that God could love me kind of was hard for me to accept. Why would God love me? It took me a long time to understand the simple truth that God is love. And God wanted a relationship with me. I struggled with that. God wants a relationship with me? Why? Well, I'm his creation. He loves me. And by the way, I still am not really sure why he continues to love me. Because even after I got saved, even after I tried to do what's right, I many times have done what's wrong. And sometimes the grace of God and the mercy of God just overwhelms me. I don't get it. Amen? I don't get it. I've had people say, you know, explain to me the grace of God. I can't explain it. I wouldn't love me. I still struggle to figure out why that redheaded woman I've been married to for 45 years loves me. She knows more than all of you. And some of you wonder why she loves me. Put yourself in her shoes, okay? So there's the bad news, but the good news, how do you get eternal life? Well, God loves you. So how did this happen? Here's where the connection stopped for me as far as Bible understanding. Here's where I stood when I got saved. Here's where I was kind of standing. You say, when you got saved, before I ever came to Christ, before I ever heard the gospel, I knew I was a sinner. I knew there was hell. I knew there was a possibility I would go to one of heaven and hell. Was I guilty? Yes. Have I heard that God loved me? Yes. Here's what happened, though. I couldn't make the connection from God loving me to somehow getting to heaven. Okay, so he loves me, so do we all get there? Is that how that happens? Because God loves me. If he loves me, then I'm okay and I'm on my way, right? People believe that, right? God is love, and God would not send anybody to hell. Well, he doesn't. You send yourself to hell. God's doing everything he can do to keep you out of hell. Everything up to the point that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you. Now, folks, I don't know what your definition of love is, but that is true love. Love to me is somebody sacrificing their best to meet your need. That's exactly what God did in John chapter 3 and verse 16, okay? So how did this happen? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But the gift of God, the first part of the verse, remember the first part of the verse, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, when I heard that, I understand God loved me. You can stand up. I understood that there was a Jesus Christ, but the connection of how this worked evaded me. I didn't get, okay? Nolan showed me a verse. I think 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this: "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That verse may take a little explaining. So, he hath made him, God hath made Christ to be sin for us, right? So, Christ took the penalty of sin on him so that I would have and put his righteousness on me. So, when God looks at my account, let's say it this way. Let's say there's two accounts in heaven. Let's say you have a bank account in heaven and Christ has a bank account in heaven. You look at my bank account in heaven and it's all negative. It's all withdrawals. I'm way behind. I got nothing. You look at Jesus' bank account, you know what's in that account? Perfect righteousness. He was without sin. God looked at my account, said, "You need something," and took some of the perfect righteousness of Christ and put that on my account. It wasn't because of anything I did. It was because of what Christ did. He hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God, not in us, not because I'm righteous, not because now I'm good, not because now I'm a pastor. Had nothing to do with it. 16 years of age, I was just as saved that day as I am today, and it was both then because of Christ and now because of Christ. It's because of what he did on the cross. He took my place. You know who should have died on that cross? Me. And everybody sitting in this auditorium, you deserve that penalty. But God took that penalty for me. Christ took that penalty for me. So not only does God love me, but this is good news. Christ died for you.
Christ died for you.
Okay, now think about this. You getting excited yet? Is this good? Okay, so here's the bad news is.
We've all sinned.
We're all going to die.
We will all be judged.
We are all guilty.
But.
God loves you.
Christ died for you.
You jumped ahead of me, Gary. Boy. He's got a deep voice back there. Kind of scared me a little bit. Okay, so now I understood at that point when Nolan was explaining to me, now I moved to this spot and I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. So God loves me enough that he sent his son to die for me, right? And he took my place and he's put his righteousness on me. You know what I want to know then? Okay, I'm pretty common, simple guy. How do I get that? How do I get that? If that's all true, and it is all true, and Nolan took many, many minutes, probably half hour, 45 minutes, explaining the gospel to me, and when he did that, that's all I could think was, okay, so what do I need to do? Do I need to join the church? Do I need to get baptized? What do I need to do to get him, to get his perfect righteousness on my account? What do I got to do? Well, I think most of you know. He took me to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Some of you already ahead of me, right? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Nolan did not read the next few words. You know what he did? He said, read those words. And I still remember this 48 years later. Thou shalt be saved. He said, read verse 13. He said, you read the whole verse. By the way, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, as far as I know, is the first verse I ever read out loud from the Bible for myself. Isn't that a good verse to be your first verse? And I remember sitting there reading it. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says simply, whosoever believeth, who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I remember reading that, but I was still kind of stuck here. I was still kind of go, what? So what have I got to do? I don't have to join the church. I don't have to get baptized. I don't have to be a good person because, I mean, after all that, it's kind of hard for me to become a good person now, right? I can't. How do you make up for that? Can't do it. But how do I get this? So I need to call upon the name of the Lord. So here's the good news, just the good news. You people can sit down. I don't need you anymore. I think we got to that point. Just, nope, you don't get to go yet. I would let him go, but she asked, and it made me want to, you know. Okay, so here's the good news.
God loves you.
And
Christ died for you.
And you like this. Now, you're a preacher of the gospel. I need to hear this.
Okay.
You can be saved.
You can be saved.
Yeah, I remember Nolan saying that. You can be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised from the dead, you can be saved. And I was kind of like, what? I mean, really? And I said, well, when? And Nolan said, now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And Nolan said that last word, today.
Today.
So the good news is really simply this.
God loves you.
Christ died for you.
You can be saved.
Today.
Today. And I remember sitting there thinking, wait, I can, you guys can sit down. I can be saved right now. It just kind of freaked me out a little bit because, again, I was not a regular churchgoer. I'd been to church. My parents took me to church, to a Nazarene church and a Baptist church, into my grandmother's Pentecostal church. So I had a smattering of all kinds of, my theology was all over the board. I mean, it was like, well, okay. Because I'm not saying anybody, I wasn't smart enough to say anybody was wrong. So in my opinion, everybody's right. How they could all be right, I don't know. But everybody had to be right. I wasn't against anybody. But for them to say to me, all I had to do in that little room sitting back in that corner was to bow my head and pray and ask God to save you. As long as I believed it with my heart, Nolan said, you'll be saved. Now, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know if somebody's thinking online. That's too simple, because that's what I thought. But you know what? It was simple enough for a 16-year-old boy to understand the truth of the gospel, to bow his head and pray and change his life. I didn't understand it all. Did I understand dispensational theology? No. Did I understand Reformed theology? No. Calvinism, Arminianism? No. Did I understand prophecy? No. You know what I understood when I got saved? I understood that God loved me enough to send his son to die for me, and he paid the penalty for my sin, and if I would accept that as my way into heaven, he would save me. That's all I understood. That's all the truth I knew. And by the way, let me just say this and make myself very clear. That's all the truth I needed. There was a lot to learn after that, amen? This is a big book. I mean, it is a big, thick book. My wife and I are doing the read through the Bible thing this year. And, you know, we're in the book, I think we're in 2 Kings. And in the New Testament, we're just getting to the Gospel of John. And that's a lot of reading. And I mentioned this a while back. Becky's constantly saying to me, what does this mean and what does that mean? You know, I've been saved for 48 years, and there's still some stuff I go, I don't know. But I don't need to know all that to be saved. I need to know it to be a good Christian. I need to know it to be sanctified and to grow to be more like my Savior. But to be saved, I only needed to know those 8 basic truths. And once I understood those 8 basic truths, everything, and I mean literally everything in my life changed, and everything in your life changed, if that's the gospel you've accepted. Because that is the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, because of the love of God, the grace and the mercy of God for you. Now listen one more time, we're going to say this one more time. You can stay seated, guys. But listen, these are the simple truths. If you want to get the paper and you want to get all the verses and all that, if you say, I can't remember all the words, just take the little gospel track. Troy actually helped print these for me. You remember these? He printed. I asked him to print. I wrote a gospel track, and I said, well, could you print some for me? He used to work for a print shop. And so I didn't say how many. I said some. Just for me. I'm the only one who gives these out. Well, some of my family does too. So Troy printed 5,000 of them. Yes, that's been about 9 years ago, I think. Eight or nine years ago. I still have a few. Probably 1,000 are gone. But, I mean, between everybody. But so I have some of these. I had to change them just recently. There's a little sticker on the back that has our new address and all that on it. But if you want to take some of those, reason you take that is simple as this. This is it in words. It just spells it out using the same plan. So you say, well, I couldn't do that. I could never tell everybody.
We have all sinned.
We are all going to die.
We will all be judged.
We are all guilty. God loves you.
Christ died for you.
You can be saved.
Today.
Okay, I can never remember all that stuff, nor could I remember all those verses. You don't have to. You can take this gospel track. By the way, let me tell you something. You know why I wrote a gospel track? It wasn't because there weren't good gospel tracks. I love God's simple plan of salvation. That is an excellent track. I wrote a gospel track because it's my testimony. And I put on the front of it a picture of my 2 granddaughters. Okay, they're very young in this picture because it was a long time ago. And I always engage people with this gospel track. You know what I do with a waiter or a cashier? Especially if a waiter, I'll put some money. I say, you can have the money in this track if you can tell me who those people are. If Anna and Rocky are sitting with me, they usually look at it for a while and go, is it these 2 girls? And I go, yeah. Something about that makes them now connected to that track. I cannot tell you how many times in the last 8-9 years, Troy, that I've seen a waiter go over and look at the thing and then stand there and read it. And that's what I want to see him do. I hate this waiter. They stick it in their pocket and I never... Okay, get a gospel tract, find one you like, and if you can't use the words and you can't remember all the verses and you say, I couldn't present it that way, I believe you can, by the way, but if you're still afraid to do that, get a gospel tract, follow the tract. You know what you can do? I've actually led people to Christ using God's simple plan of salvation early when I got saved by going through the tract with them. I said, well, let's read the tract. I was a new Christian. I was 16, 17 years old, and I would read the tract with them. And then on the back of the tract, just like on the back of this tract, I had a sample prayer. I said, you want to pray something like this. The prayer is not what saves you. The heart belief, right? The trust in Christ, that's what saves you. This is just an idea of what you want to say, where you want to go. And I'd read the prayer with them and pray with them. You know, there's kids in the ministry today that were saved by that same simple verse. Those same simple verses, those same simple truths. Some of the great theologians are today. They wouldn't be great men of God if they didn't understand those 8 basic truths that you just understood. You said, Brother Moore, so you think there's somebody in here not saved? There may be. And if you're not saved, let me encourage you. Let somebody pray with you tonight, and you accept Christ as your personal Savior. But if you are saved, I guarantee you know somebody, or you are around somebody, or you meet somebody who's not saved. And I think as a Christian, I know as a Christian, you have a responsibility to share that gospel with them. It's not as hard as you think. It gets a little nervous at first, just like they were a little nervous. You guys look fine now. In fact, you look very comfortable. It's kind of nervous when you first do it. But you can do it, and the Holy Spirit will aid you. If that person is going to come to Christ, you'll be surprised. I still remember the first person I ever led to Christ. I walked up to the door of my youth pastor, and I had been visiting with him probably about 6-8 months, sometime in that time frame. And my youth pastor, when I knocked on the door, he looked at me and he said, I'm not talking. And I went, what? And he goes, I'm not talking tonight. You're doing all the talking. And I was like, right. So the guy opened the door, and we both stood there. And the guy goes, can I help you? I said, well, we're from Florence Baptist Temple, my home church. I said, we're from the Florence Baptist Temple. And we were here. And he didn't say a word. He never said a word that whole night. And I was out of my mind terrified. And I got in the guy's house, and he sat down, and we had a long conversation. He was a college student. Had a long conversation about where he was going to college and what he was doing. And I didn't know any way to say it. I said, hey, do you know if you die, you go to hell? This was my opening line. Wasn't I slick? I was like, and he goes, what? And I said, well, the Bible says if you die without Christ, you go to hell. And he goes, you know, my grandmother tells me that all the time. And I said, your grandmother's right. I was so blunt, I don't know what I was saying. And I went through the gospel. I said, you know, God loves you, and he wants to save you, and he sent his son to die for you. And he said, I've heard that, but I don't know how you're supposed to do that. He was the same guy I was. I was like, hey, you're me. That's where I was. And I said, well, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And I told him, and you know, the guy bowed his head and prayed and got saved, came to church about 4 weeks later, got baptized. As far as I know, he's still at the Florence Baptist. I was shocked. I was like, what? Can I tell you something? Don't be afraid to share the gospel. Don't be afraid to tell the truth. You say, I just don't know how. You know how now. You know how now. Make sure you share it. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, make sure you talk to me or Pastor Ogden. I was going to say Pastor Wall. Pastor Ogden or any pretty much anybody in here should be able to take that little piece of paper and pray with you. And you can accept Christ tonight. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray and thank you for that day in 1973 in that church there in South Carolina where they were compassionate enough to invite a young man to Christ. They invited me to church, and then they invited me to meet the Savior. And Lord, everything in my life changed from that day forward. And I'm so thankful for your grace and for your mercy, for your love in my life. And I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't understand those truths, that tonight they'll come to know Christ, that they'll have the courage to talk to one of us so that we can share that gospel with them and pray with them. And Lord, I pray for those who do know Christ. I pray you'll give them the courage and the wisdom to freely share these truths with others. Lord, this church needs to be a soul-winning church. We need to be a church where not only we bring people to church, but we bring people to Christ. Help us to do that. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You guys can be seated.